welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning, I'm going to speak a bit about character. And this past few weeks, just through so many various forms and ways, God has been speaking to me about this, and through struggles and through questions that people are coming to me with. I trust this morning God wants to answer a lot of questions and just shed light on what the focus should be amidst all of them, amidst the confusion, amidst the doubt. So let's start off by looking at the definition of what character is. It's the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. And you can look at a couple of synonyms. It's your personality, your nature, disposition, your temperament, your temper, mentality, a turn of mind. Do you want to just remember that one out of all of this? You want to remember one. Psychology, psyche, constitution, your makeup, your make, your stamp, your mold, and your cost. Okay, so if you had to look at all these synonyms of character, you know that is actually who you are. It's the inside and the outside. Your psychology, your psyche, it's the mold, the cost. It's the inside and the outside. So if you had actually determined who are you, you would refer to a person's character in a sense. So if I had to ask this question this morning, who are you? Who are you? Okay? I'm sure by asking as all of us start thinking in our minds, what would the response be? I think in many of our cases it would be, this is my profession, this is what I do, this is what I'm made of, I'm a student, this is what I study. I'm sure that would be many of our answers, but above that, you are telling me, when I ask, who are you? You're actually just telling me what you are instead of who you are. So this morning, who are we? I want to look a bit at our identity in, as children of God. I'm sure and I trust that all, if not all, most of us sitting here, we have one day made a decision to give our lives to Christ. We have believed in our hearts, we have confessed with our mouths, and perhaps even repented of our ways. What is repentance? It's a turn of mind. It's a turn, you walk into another direction. We did that at some point in our lives. And so what does it make us? It makes us sons and daughters of God. I believe if someone had to ask you the question, who are you? At the core, at the foundation of everything, that is who we are. I'm the son of the Most High. Who's your daddy? Who are we? So when we have made that decision, we have started walking to that. Would you agree with me today, church? We have made the decision to, above being the son of whatever parent, earthly parent we have, bless them, especially mothers, wow, they are so awesome. I'm sure all of you would agree with me as well. Everyone is so quiet this morning. But we made the decision to, above anything we have and own or whatever we do on this earth, we made the decision to walk to be a son and to be a daughter of God. Because that is what He's calling us to. That is above any other things we should pertain to. And I want to read out of Romans chapter 8 from verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs of Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So we are sons, we are fellow heirs of Christ, and if you really understand with the scripture, it is something massive. We all know who Jesus is, okay? We all know what Jesus has done. And by giving our lives to Christ, it makes us what? Equal to God, to Jesus. It makes us fellow heirs with Jesus. Do you understand this? So what does this mean in a sense? It means that that day, whenever it was for us, when we said, okay, Lord, I repent, I give you my sin, I give you my life, I give you my all, Jesus actually did that. And that is why I said, and through baptism, it caused us to die. Why? Because it's no longer us who live, but it's Christ in us who live. And that brings us immediately to a place, or it ought to immediately bring us to a place of no condemnation, no fear, no guilt. And if we had to be honest here today, I'm sure there would be some of us saying that, yes, we sort of feel guilty of what we've done this week, or the things we've done wrong, or maybe feel a bit condemned about our sins, maybe still feel condemned about our past. And is there anyone like that this morning? There's a couple of us. Okay, so it's almost like our past or this odd part of who we were, we cannot let go of it in a sense. Because what is the truth this morning, church? The truth is the cross is enough. It was sufficient. Jesus said it was finished. So that means every sin, every bad thing, everything that we have done, up to the point where we say, Jesus, I repent today, forgive me of what I've done, it's taken it away. Not only takes it away, God forgets about it as well. We have such an issue with forgiving ourselves. And it's not just, okay, but now we're stuck in this thing of guilt. But guilt leads to death. Guilt can only lead to death, but godly sorrow leads to repentance. So we should constantly be in this place of repenting who we are, because that means we are free from guilt, free from condemnation. Because it's not just about us and being occupied in our thoughts, in our hearts, or in our souls about all the things we are doing wrong and how we are missing God. Because it's not, you know what, it's not God condemning you. It's not God making you feel, it's the devil doing that. And we are allowing the devil in our lives, in our thoughts, in our minds, every single day, to come and accuse us. And what does this lead to? It leads us to not listening to God, because we are listening to the devil and his accusations and feeling condemned with what he brings. So this morning, I hope and I trust this truth of the Word and through God's Spirit that He's going to come and once and for all make this sink into our spirits that who the Son sets free is free indeed. That this morning, church, when we walk out here today, there will be no guilt, there will be no condemnation, there will be no fear of whatever in our lives, because when we say, Jesus, You're my King, He took all of that upon Himself 2,000 years ago. And if we have to look at it bluntly, when we still preoccupy ourselves with this, we disgrace the cross because we take away from what Jesus did for us. Jesus took everything upon Him, but we choose to take it upon ourselves as well. It is so stupid. Why would we do that? And I'm with you. I'm with you today in struggling with this, in thoughts, in condemnation. The gospel is a remission, the complete remission of sins. So we've heard this. We've heard this. This is perhaps the 20th time we've heard, but I trust the Lord that today our spirits will hear that and it will be in the foundation of our hearts and our lives. That, you know, when you wake up in the morning and say, God, forgive me of my sins, then you walk out of the door not thinking about it at all. Because that is what God is doing. Amen? God calls us to be His sons, to be His daughters, to be in a relationship with our Father. It is a partnership. It is not this far-off thing. God calls us for intimacy. And how can we be intimate with God if we are just feeling bad about ourselves all the time? If we feel guilty about ourselves all the time? I'm not saying we should be oblivious to our sins. when the Holy Spirit convicts us of it, then we repent and then we forget and we move on about it. What is true repentance in a sense? It's actually if we never do that sin again. But we keep on doing it because we preoccupy our thoughts with it all the time. Just trying, yes. A great example is lust. And I know many of us can relate to this. I struggled with this a long time in my life. It's just you repent, and then it's just back. An hour later, you repent, it's back, you repent, it's back. But you actually have to train yourself, your thoughts, to stop being preoccupied with it. And set tools, set guidelines in your life to overcome it. And a freebie here today, especially if there are anyone sitting here struggling with lust, you know what I did? I said, okay, God, as soon as I see a beautiful girl walking past, I'm gonna bless her, I'm going to pray for her. And what I'm praying for myself, I'm going to pray over her. Yo, I was praying a lot those coming weeks when I saw the beautiful girls. But you know what? I stopped seeing beautiful girls around me because the devil just kept them away from me because I was just blessing them like crazy. And then today I can stand you completely free of lust. Completely. Through the cross. God's forgiveness and true repentance. So if you really struggle with something in your life, ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom and a tool to give you. And if you're a guy, put a patent right on it or something. You can use this idea. Pray for the goals you see. Not only is it good, but you will see the devil will keep them away from you. So today we need to ultimately receive an identity from Christ this morning. An identity as a daughter, an identity as a son. Because how can we walk in authority, walk in love, walk in wisdom, if we do not understand who we are in Christ? Because if we do that, it's a very scary place to be in a sense. Because what we do then is we make the Bible a book of principles to follow instead of seeing the Bible as an introduction to a relationship with the Father. If our Bibles are guidelines and principles to us, we are missing the whole point of God wanting to establish a relationship with us. We do all these things, know all these words, have all this wisdom and the knowledge of the Bible. You can quote every single scripture in the Word, but you do not have a relationship with Christ. You are just missing the point. God did not come to make us memorize a book. He made us to be in relationship with Him. This morning I'm trusting that as I speak, and I want to encourage you to open up your spirit. Just as you are, just say, Holy Spirit, show me who I am in Christ. Because this thing of sonship is really, we struggle with it. Because there's so many influences, and because of our fathers or our parents or our sin and the devil accusing us on the side as well, we struggle to really understand who we are in Christ. So the next time someone asks you who you are, just the immediate reaction is, I'm the Son of God. That being the foundation, add everything, and everything else is born on top of that. And this morning I want to take this part of our identities in Christ and speak about how we as church, how does it work when we operate in our gifts we receive from the Holy Spirit, but when struggling with the sonship, and how does it affect us? Because I'm sure all of us sitting here, we not only want to be Christians, we want to be effective Christians, we want to be effective in sharing the gospel and telling others of Christ. It's not just telling about, this is what Levi Jesus has done, it's displaying power the way Jesus has done. I'm sure all of us, that is a desire of our hearts to, in plain terms, just to be Christians. But we struggle with it, and we have so many questions. And this morning, I want to highlight into a specific area. I want to speak about the ministry of healing and the gifts of healing this morning. We have so many questions. Who's ever prayed for someone to get healed and they didn't get healed? How did that make us feel? that we immediately start questioning, like, what are we doing wrong? Where did I miss the calculation? What? Immediately your mind just starts going in a sense like, okay, but the word says this, but this didn't happen. So there's, in a sense, there's confusion. There are questions. I'm just going to speak a bit into this and hopefully answer a couple of questions which we have, so that our focus will just be so right when we go out here today. And this last week especially, I've just seen so many people actually stepping out in faith and starting to pray for people. I just want to say, well done. It is so amazing. When we, on Friday evening, when we had the event of Uncle Angus on the rugby field, there was a lady coming in a wheelchair. And you know what? People ambushed her in the parking lot to pray for her. They prayed for her at the gate. They prayed for her when we handed out the Joy magazines. And you know what? That girl did not get out of her wheelchair. But then she went, I was still joking, I said, hi, you had the best seat in the house tonight. And then she went through. Do you know what? She didn't get healed. Do you know what? That's okay. For what I want to say next is people are stepping out in laying down who they are. They're laying down the fears, stepping out to pray. And this is such a good thing because God is going to come and He's going to start rewarding us when we get the following right. Because I'm sure even in praying for that lady and many others, we started questioning or there were doubts even in approaching her. Okay, yes, Lord, will this really work? Psyching yourself up and then like, oh, okay, power, power, and then pow with your hand. Matthew 10, from verse 7. This is where Jesus sent out the 12 apostles, and He said, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without paying. Is it God's will for every person on this earth to be healed? Yes. Is it God's will for us to be used in healing them? Yes. Okay? It is God's will for every person we pray for to be healed. God gave us all authority to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out lepers, to do all these things. He gave us the full authority. He did not give it to some, He gave it to all through His Holy Spirit. Okay? So if we are full of the Holy Spirit, we have received this authority to have a, let's call it 100% success rate. We already missed that. But to aim for it from today onwards, the way Jesus did. Okay? It's God's will to heal every single person. And when people do not get healed, what is it we have told them? Is it, oh, yes, you know what? Your lack of faith is causing you to not get out of this wheelchair. If you've done that this morning, we need to repent, because that is not the truth. If you have done that, say, oh, you know, maybe it's not God's will to heal you today. Oof. We need to repent as well. It's God's will to heal us. I want to, if you go and approach people when you pray for them, just imagine Jesus is standing right next to you, and you ask your question, if Jesus was here, what would happen now? The person would be healed. Period. So is it our lack of faith for people not getting healed, or is it their lack of faith? It's our lack of faith for people not getting healed. So the correct response, and this is today is going to be a bit of talk, a bit of training, perhaps a bit of crying as well. My ear is still closed. It is very irritating. A bit of training in how to do this. If you pray for someone, the person does not get healed, what do we say? You know what? Not good. I'm so sorry, bro. It's God's will for you to be healed. God loves you so much. He wants to heal you today. But I'm working through this. You know what? I'm still growing as a son of God. I'm trying to understand this authority thing. But I'm going to continue praying for you. I'm going to continue trusting. I'm going to continue growing until we see breakthrough in this. That is the truth. The lack of faith, the lack of this miracle not working, it is our fault and no one else's fault. And then another question, why do only some people get healed? Same answer. I want us to look at Scripture. Again, Matthew 17, from verse 14. And this is after Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic, and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him." And Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you?" I can tell you, Jesus is not speaking to this man, bringing his son to them. Jesus gave the authority to who to pray for the sick? To the 12 apostles there. So he's speaking to them, "O faithless and twisted generation." This twisted means it's of corrupt thinking. So they allowed their heads, their thoughts to come in the way when praying for this boy. And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you." Nothing will be impossible for us as church if we have faith of a mustard seed. It's God's will and God's provision for every person to be healed completely, wherever we pray for, because the cross was sufficient. It was enough. Jesus took away all the sin. He took away all the shortcomings. During this week of Fire Up, someone had a question saying, "But you know, how was it a sacrifice for Jesus to be crucified if he knew he was going to be raised up?" Fair question, I suppose. But the torment and the torture was not in Jesus having to die, even though he knew it'd be resurrection. The torment and the torture and the act of love came in. What does Scripture say? It says that Jesus bore our sins upon him. Jesus became sin for us. So what happened in response? God turned his face away from Jesus. And that is what Jesus has done for us. Jesus didn't. The cross is not about him dying for us. The cross is about Jesus becoming sin for us. So that is why we are completely set free from every sin, because he took it all upon himself. We have complete freedom. Now, this is the first place in Scripture where it's noted that the disciples, they could not heal a person. So Jesus gave them all authority. He gave them everything they needed to do it. They were walking, they were walking next to Jesus, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle. Then comes to this epileptic boy, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." Okay, yes, okay. "In the name of Jesus," and immediately they started doubting. They started questioning. And healing did not happen. Hence Jesus coming, calling them twisted and faithless. We miss it, just as the disciples missed it that day. And I'm going to look at scriptures and what Jesus has said. For how can we overcome this? But before we do, we have to ask the question, what is more important to God? For us, having 100% success rate in miracles, or our character? What's more important to God? Character. Our hearts. It's way more important than God, for God, than us getting everything right, than us having 100% success rate in healings. Another question, let's say everyone in this room needed healing. And tomorrow you would have the same hole, and the day after even a bigger hole. And God would use you in healing all those people. Looking at yourself, healing every person, who can say with complete confidence they would not either think, "Yes, now I'm a good Christian. I just healed like 3 holes full of people in 3 days without one person not getting healed." Or who would perhaps just take a bit of pride in that? And I think if we had to be honest today, it would be a degree of pride. You'd perhaps think like, "Yes, man, now I'm getting this right. there would be an element of this, and this is what God is trying to teach us. Our hearts, our character is way more important to Him than us getting it right. He continued to coach the disciples in getting it right and getting it wrong. He gave us all the tools, the same authority He gave them, He gave to us. God is coming, He's coaching us in this. Knowledge does what? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So in this thing of God working on our character, at the root of it, He wants to plant His love. The same love He displayed for us on the cross. He's taking all that sin upon Himself. What is love is when a brother lays down his life for another. That is true love. And if we do not have that love at the center of our character, we will get it wrong. We will fail God, because that is the center and the core of it all. Because you see, you can be a person receiving a gift of healing, or any other gift for that matter, and do all these wonderful things. But if you have a lack of character, that gift will destroy you. You all know the scripture where people came to Jesus saying, "Lord, did we not prophesy your name, cast out demons on your name, saw the wonders and miracles in your name?" And He said, "Depart from me, you practice lawlessness." Those people, they were on the way of death, even though doing all these signs and wonders. So they had this gift of doing all these wonderful things, but they lacked the character. And where does this character come from? It comes from knowing Christ. So without knowing Christ, we cannot have the godly character required to handle the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to handle walking as a Christian. In a sense, what we need to do today is just, if we are in the sphere of praying every single day, which is very good for the sick and for the lost, but we just do not see any results. Today, in a sense, we just have to take two steps back. One is back to our character, and one is even one step further back, saying, do we know Jesus? Jesus does not care if we do all those miracles, we do not know Him. The reality is we will go to hell. Okay? Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. I don't want anything to do with you. I don't care what you have done. Yes, you've healed 10,000. I don't care. I don't know you. So today, let's take two steps back and assess, do we know Christ? And if we do really know Him, we can take a step forward and have a look at our character. What are we rooted in? What is at the center, the core of who we are? Because if we do not have the character needed to be in place for the gifting to flow, you know what? That gift will become our identity. God asks, who are you? I'm Christopher Healer. I'm Christopher, the Son of God. That should always be at the core. That should always be our identity. But if we have the lack of character, the gifting will become our identity. The same scripture we just read in Matthew 17. Some translations leave it out, but there's a verse 21 that says, where Jesus said, however, but this kind never comes out except through prayer and fasting. Okay, now there's been many teachings for many years that this prayer and fasting refers to the demon. Okay? It does not refer to the demon. Jesus was addressing what? He was addressing the unbelief in the disciples. Because the healing did not happen, so He was addressing the unbelief. He was addressing the lack of faith. So hence He's saying, however, this kind, this lack of faith, this unbelief only goes out except through prayer and fasting. When we pray and when we fast, it's not twisting God's arm to move. It's not praying, okay, God, we're going to encounter these demons before we go wherever, so you need to come and help us. No. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. His will is already to cast out all demons, to heal all the sick. It's not like, my will is to heal everybody except this one. This, you know, if you have scoliosis, you need to fast, then scoliosis. No. Jesus is addressing the unbelief. So what needs to happen? This fasting and prayer does what? It gets us out of the way so that God can move. This fasting and prayer changes who we are. It changes our thinking. It changes and takes away the unbelief and the doubt we have so that God can move. We are called to not only be sons and daughters, we are called to be dead. Why does God not move? It's when we get in the way. And this is the only way we can die more to ourselves is by fasting and praying. And we need to do this more and more. And we will start to see the results because we will actually just move so that God can come and move in and do what He wants to do. Because it's never us healing, it is God. We can look at the example of the seven sons of Sceva. We all know that story. They went, you know, in the name of the same Jesus that Paul was preaching about, and that we come and we want to cast out the demons. What did they do? The demons leaped on them, ripped their clothes off and ruffled them a bit and chased them out of the house. Why? You can take one step back because of a lack of character. Why do they have a lack of character? They did not know Jesus. The same thing's happening when we want to cast out a demon, he doesn't want to go. He's just like, who are you, bro? What's up? I don't know you. The thing is, it's not about our names. They should see the Christ in us, and that should make them fear and tremble and get out of the way. Because we should be so dead that the person would not even recognize us, but recognize Christ in us. Matthew 21, from verse 21. And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, okay? If you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Okay, so Jesus approached this fig tree, did not have any fruit. Jesus spoke a curse of it, and it withered away. It's great. That's crazy, right? I think it's crazy. We have received the same authority. And even more so, if this mountain is in our way, we say, mountain, move, and it should just jump in the sea. If we have faith and do not doubt. And I'm sure today, many of us, we are sitting here and saying, yes, but I have the faith. I know and I believe that Christ can do all things. So what is lacking is doubt. We are doubting. Or we are in the way of God moving. Today God wants to address us. He wants to quieten our minds, quieten our thoughts. And today, if we have prayed for people not getting healed, we get stuck in this washing machine of thoughts. Why, Lord? Why not? This is your will. What am I doing wrong? What needs to happen? And immediately start asking all the questions instead of just looking at the one big answer. Jesus. It's Jesus' will to heal. So today, church, let's stop. And remember, this is not just for healing. This is for all the gifts. This is for your walk in Christ. And all the things that we do not see breakthrough in. Can we stop asking God stupid questions and focus on the answer, which is Jesus? We do not see results because God is having fun. Saying, you know, I'm just going to test my own word here. God wants to build our characters. And the quicker we stop looking at all the questions, stop looking at what we are doing wrong, just focus on Jesus, you know what? He immediately comes and starts to guide us and teach us, and he'll start taking away who we are and place in us who He is. Because it's on His authority, it's through His love which we operate, not our own. So the less we have of ourselves, the more He can move through us. Amen? We should stop doubting. Because we only doubt because we believe there's an element of we are having to need to do this. No, your hand is not even needed. Okay? I just want you to come and speak the truth and speak the life. So many testimonies of people being healed while over a cell phone, while being far away. Person taking a photo of the hand. He said, hey, what? Texting you the photo of my hand. The guy placed a photo on his arm got healed. Okay? You know, God is not limited to our small thoughts or brains or how we think. He's omnipresent, he's everywhere. He just needs us to step out. Say, okay, God, if you were here, what would happen? And I can let this happen because you are here. It's not me. That is the place we need to get at. We're going to walk into hospitals and we're going to clean out floors. Is it God's will to heal every person? Yes, it is. Have we prayed for people even close to us? Perhaps family? Perhaps someone that died that needed healing and they didn't get healed? It hurts. It hurts when we pray and nothing happens. And we stop blaming God for it and start looking to our doubt and our lack of faith and say, God, this is what I have. I give it to you, and I focus to the big answer, which is Jesus and the reality that you want to heal everyone. Because what is the revelation of faith? Is it us saying mountain be moved, or is it the mountain moving? What is the revelation of faith? We speak to a lot of mountains every single day. We have a lot of struggles. We have so many things we go through. Which mountains are moving and which mountains are not? But the mountains moving, when that happens, what does it mean? It means we see clearly. When we see miracles happen, it means we see clearly. It means there was nothing in the way, no thoughts, no doubt in the way. And then Jesus could come and he could just step into the situation and let this miracle happen. Proverbs 19, verse 2. Even zeal is not good without knowledge. And the one who acts hastily sins. What is this knowledge? It comes from the word revelation in this context. God can only take us as far as the revelation we have of Him and the kingdom. It's only as far as He can take us. And what does it come down to? It comes down to, again, of what is the revelation we have of Christ? How intimately and how well do we know Him? Zeal is not good without that revelation. So in a sense, if we actually go and we just want to do all these things, we have this zeal, this passion, the fire burning, we are sinning. We need to have a revelation of who Christ is before we go, because then and then only then when we see a breakthrough, we will see this happen. And will God start building in us the character needed? And when we have this character, that is when we start walking into and out of situations, walking around, buying milk. We walk as sons and daughters of the Most High. And we command that which we want to see. Now, some people might say, you're so arrogant. You're so full of pride, commanding all these things. You know what? Okay, we're not commanding God. Let's just be clear on that. One time I've heard someone pray, okay, God, I command you this healing to you. I'm like, No. We should not tolerate pain and sickness in our presence. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Lightness and darkness does not coexist in the same place. If Jesus was standing next to us, what would happen in this situation? Jesus say, oh, no, you know what? This epilepsy is too big for me to handle now. I'm going to walk away. You know what? You just actually need to stay in this pain because I'm going to teach you what you need to learn in this pain. And sometimes we believe it without even knowing it. So let's stop looking over the doubts, questions. Look at the answer, Jesus. That we can walk in the fullness as sons and daughters. So we speak with authority. We command sickness to go. We command a spirit of affirmation to go. And you know what that leads to? It does not lead to pride. It actually leads to humility. Because when used by Christ, you will get in your car and you will just start crying, just saying, God, how is it possible that you actually want to use me in this situation? Like, I still don't know how it works, but it works. So when we start understanding who we are as sons and daughters, you will not stop crying. In sometimes in the most inappropriate moments, especially when you stand in front of a lot of people, you can't stop crying, because it humbles you just knowing that God is actually wants to use you, and we are His only option. So let's understand this authority as sons and as daughters. Let's start claiming what should be ours. Yes, there's sometimes this resistance. No, it's not like we are going and then the darkness is coming against us. We are advancing. You know, when we feel the darkness fighting back, we are just going into a place which the darkness has occupied for such a long time. Now, the kingdom of God, is it on the defense? No, it's on the offense. So that is when we enter this place. Of course, there will be a resistance, but the devil will leave because we are his sons and his daughters of God. So when we start entering into this, let's take this example of saying, okay, God, I want to walk in the fullness of walking into your gifts, performing your gifts of signs and wonders. Why? Because you've said we should. There will be in a resistance to this. Yes, you will struggle with this because it has been so dormant. The enemy has just occupied that space for so long in our lives. But then we just need to break through. No, it's not a contentment for it. We just take it. The devil has been slain. God has given us the authority. He's given us the sword. He's given us the name of Jesus, which is the name above all names. So if we understand who we are, then only do we understand who Jesus is, and then only do we understand the authority it is we need to walk in. And again, if we struggle with this, we need to take 2 steps back. Jesus, I do not know you. I want to know you. Let the revelation of Jesus be at the core of who we are before we want to go out and see the miraculous happen. When we command healing, we're not hotshots. Okay, we're not, God is not, it's not like an abracadabra type of thing. We are God's sons and his daughters, and he gives us what we ask him. Why? First of all, the word says so, which is truth. And second of all, it's his desire to bless us, to give us life and life in abundance. Our character is directly linked to our revelation of Christ. And everything stems out of love. We are rooted and grounded in love. This morning, I want us to pray a prayer. I want all of us to pray. Saying, Jesus, I am your son, I am your daughter. And help me to truly understand and see myself as that. Because God sees you as it. We just have a cloud of judgment, and we have this umbrella, in a sense, over that, where the devil uses to veil it. And if we do not understand who we are as sons and daughters of Christ, we are preoccupied with all these 1,003 questions about why stuff is not working. Why does the name of Jesus not cast out this demon? Why this, why this, why that? Why do I not see breakthrough in my finances, in my life? Does this mean we need to be perfect in order for God to use us in healing? Definitely not. It only means that we should be in a place of repenting, which we are not perfect of. Seeing ourselves as sons and daughters and knowing that in revelation, then simply just go without fear and in love. The gospel is simple. The gospel is simple. The gospel is for who? For those that are like little children. It's not for the doctors, for the profs. Yes, they are part of it. God did not write or create the gospel for the highly intellectual people. He said, let the children come to me. Because I understand this better than you do. Because why? Children do not have a lot of nonsense and stuff and worries in their brains. Should we not worry? Yes. Jesus said, do not be anxious for anything. Okay? So let's lay down our worries. Let's lay down our questions. Let's lay down our thoughts that are warring inside of us. To say, Jesus, I do not have the answers except the one big answer to all the problems, and it is Jesus. The cross is enough. His blood was sufficient in all things. So I want us this morning to pray this prayer together. The band, you guys can start coming to the front, please. And this morning the answer is, we have to look at our character and who we are. If we want to get this right, it means we need to go back to the presence of God. We need to go into the rest of being with God. Many times the people, they were looking for Jesus, but they could not find him. Because why? He was on the mountain. Jesus was coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, coming down after the Transfiguration, coming down, then rebuking the disciples for not getting the healing right. So he was coming down from a different perspective. He was in the presence of God, seeing clearly. Then the healing happened, and he helped the disciples in what went wrong. See, we get caught in the ground level problems, questions, and we lose perspective. What does God say? He says he mounts us up like wings of eagles. You know, eagles, they do not fly through a storm. They fly above it. They just lock their wings. And without any effort, the wind takes them up, and then they soar over the storm. That's why the scripture says he mounts us up on wings like eagles. So they have a perspective above the chaos, above the questions. So how do we get there? How do we get perspective? Is in the presence of God, is on the mountaintop. How long ago we've been on the mountaintop? How's our quiet time with God? And every sermon you will ever hear in your life, it all comes back to this, not just this one. Do you know Jesus? What is your revelation of who Jesus is? So this morning, I want to encourage you. The band is going to play quietly in the background, and I'm going to pray for two group of people. First group is if you have never given your life to Christ, you've never been in the place of saying, Lord, I want to just turn around from where I'm moving, because I'm actually, if we had to be honest, Lord, I'm leading towards death, but I want to walk to life. I want to walk to this life of wonder, to this life of adventure, but above all of that, to be your son. If there are any one of you this morning, I'm not going to ask us to close our eyes or anything. I just want you to come to the front. If that is you this morning, you can come to my right and say, there's a group of us who would love to pray with you. I just want to give a couple of seconds if there's any one of you like that tonight, this morning, who wants to respond to the call of Christ. Just join me here at the front. There's no shame. There's no shame in responding to the call of Jesus. Because when is the day of salvation? The day is now. Can't guarantee where we will be this afternoon. Is it to invoke fear? It's just the truth, man. If there's any of you that wants to respond, come to this side. And the second group I want to pray for on this side. If you desire to walk this earth as sons and daughters of God, meaning what? Meaning that you are willing to die to yourself. To drop everything that you have, everything that you are, laying down your dreams, your desires, saying, Christ, above my studies, above my family, above everything that I have and own, Lord, everything is yours. And above all of this, Lord, I want to know you, because Jesus, if I do not know you, what is all this stuff leading to? So if you this morning want to say you want to walk this earth as a son and daughter, and with that in your identity, see all these signs, see all these wonders, see people turning to Christ out of the place of you knowing who you are, I want you to join me here on this side. We would love to pray for you as well. So you can just come right now if you require prayer for that. We can just spread out all the way. Yeah. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want you to pray it after me. So let's respond to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And the rest of you sitting there, you are more than welcome just to pray with us. not, just let's remain in this space of worship for a couple of minutes still to go. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Lord, it's completely sufficient for me to be completely free of sin, free of condemnation, free of guilt, free of doubt. Jesus, you have done everything for me. And in response today, Jesus, I give you everything I am. I give you my life. I give you my thoughts, my heart's desires, my family, my studies, my dreams, my desires. Because God, I see them all as a loss if I do not know you. So Jesus, to open my eyes, open my mind to see clearly, to see how you see. That we will not only focus on the things seen, but on the things unseen. So today, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Fill everything that we are. Come be our identity. Lord, I'm your son and I'm your daughter. Lord, I'm your son. Help me to understand this. Help my mind to understand this. So when I walk out this door today, Jesus, I'm walking out as your co-heir, seated next in the throne of righteousness. Jesus, you've given me everything. And this morning I take it. Lord, I've asked you a lot of stupid questions. So many stupid questions. But Lord, I no longer want to focus on what's not happening. I focus on the one big answer for every problem. The one solution for every problem. The one truth through all the doubt. That is Jesus is Lord. Jesus is good. And Lord, it is your will for us to walk in complete life. Complete healing. Complete restoration. So God, come and instill this in our lives. Let my character be Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ in me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. The worship team is going to continue ministering. You are more than welcome to stay. If you require any other prayer, if you have any questions, if you have any doubts, I'm going to be in the front. Some ushers will be in the front as well. We would love to pray with you. Then you are more than welcome to go and enjoy the afternoon. It was great to have you here. I speak such a blessing. God's favor and God's presence over you as you go. May you truly come to know Jesus for who he is in every situation, in every encounter with every person. That whatever we do this week, it will be out of a place of love. Jesus, take away our anger. Take away our frustration, Lord. Put in us your love. Perfect love, which casts out all fear, casts out all doubt, casts out all anger, Father. Let us be rooted and grounded in your love, Lord, as we go. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.